I was going to ask you if you remembered any funeral processions down the street, any parades.
Yes, Belgian Pete, when he died, he was the, see, we didn't have any sewers when we come to the Green Bay in 1902. There was no sewer system, sewage system. Everybody dumped their slop in the ditch in the front of the house. And then they got on the, then they started putting in sewers, and they were made of brick.
Yeah.
And Belgian, and the bricklayers built those sewers of brick. And on Saturday, they would, I think Belgian Pete was a contractor also.
You remember what his real name was?
Pete Lagers, L-A-G-E-R-S. There might be some of them living here yet, I don't know. He only had a daughter, though, and she was kind of a queer. Anyway, the all these bricklayers, they were very high-salaried people, bricklayers were years ago. And they go and cash their checks and spend their money at Belgian Pete's. And when he died, they had, I think it was already Heinen's band. I'm not certain about that, though. Professor Heinen had directed the band here for many years. And they had the funeral march. I think they did for old man Willem, too. Willem was a musician.
Is he Belgian also?
No, Willem is German, I think. So I think they had a, I still remember the march.
What was it like?
I don't remember just what it was like. But tom, tom, ta-dum, ta-dum, ta-dum.
And the whole band played that?
Yeah. And then the slow march, you know, it was a slow march, a funeral march.
And did they...
wasn't a stepped-up march like in a parade or anything like that.
Then did they walk down the street?
Oh, yes.
To the cemetery, or...?
I don't know how far they went, but I know they'd be down the street here.
Hmm. As far as the hearses, did they have motor... How soon did they have motor-driven hearses rather than horse-driven?
Well, when cars came into being, I think. I don't remember just when. The first car I saw was Dr. Minahan's car. I was near Whitney Park here on Main Street, and this little thing come chucking along here, and it was a steam car.
Oh. See that? The hearse that your grandfather...
Oh, the hearse my grandfather was born in. It was all a glass encased and all that, and all these big fancy big doodads on the top, you know, these big black things, you know. I don't know what they were made
of. That was horse-drawn, though, wasn't it?
And that was horse-drawn, and the horses, it was summer. Yeah, it was summer. And the horses had black fly nets.
Oh, really?
You don't know what a fly net is.
I saw them on one of your pictures.
Oh.
Yeah.
You see, they keep wiggling with the horse walking, you know, and that keeps the flies off from the horse.
Right. That's a good idea. Was there an undertaker then in town that had that hearse?
No, it was a... I can't just think of his name now. He was from Luxembourg. No, I can't think of his name.
Hmm.
I knew him. And I knew his widow. She used to come to the bank and ask me to look for a new man for her. I'd kid her, I'd tell her, well, I'm too busy. It says, look around yourself, you get what you want. If I pick one out, you probably won't like him. I said, she says, one day she came in, I said, didn't you find one yet? This was quite a few years after. Well, she says, I could have had a few of them, but she says to fill their bellies with food and buy fuel to keep their feet warm. She says, I don't want that kind.
Oh. Well, it's all right if you don't remember his name. Maybe you'll remember it sometime.
Oh, that is Mr. DeBauche.
DeBauche?
D-E-B-A-U-C-H-E.
it's going to ring quite a few times.
I did the same thing last time you were here.
What? Forgot
the clock
struck. The clock, yeah,
did.
I think it was...
The telephone rang, but the bird was... got
oh,
quite
yeah.
a lot of...
The bird went somewhere.
He got quite a lot of licks. I guess Lil took him in the bedroom.
Let me see. Oh, I was going to ask about that debauch. Was he paid then for...
Oh, sure. You had to pay him for the casket. I don't know what else they did. They just dressed him, I guess.
Huh. So he was kind of like the undertaker, right? But there was no involvement.
Him the undertaker.
Was that his only profession, or was he a farmer also?
No, I think that's all he did in Luxembourg.
About what time did embalming start coming into use?
That I wouldn't know. I know my first wife was embalmed right in our front room. There were no funeral homes at that time. So they did the embalming right in your home. And they had kind of nice caskets, and my wife was buried in they called it a full couch. The entire cover opened up, and she was laid out there. She even told me what dress she wanted on.
And really, what year was that?
1921. See, that late, there was no funeral homes.
Yeah.
A whole lot of things happened in the last 40, 50 years.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Sure. Cars, you even had a crank. The first ones came out, and that broke many, many, many arms.
Oh, really? I suppose snapping back?
Yeah, the motor would kick back, and the crank would strike and break your arm. It came fast, you see, you couldn't dodge it.
Yeah.
Old Henry Ford broke many arms.
Himself? His own?
No, his
Ford. Others' arms.
His Ford cars. And they didn't have any batteries either, it was coils.
I was going to ask you about peddlers. Do you remember Raleigh or Watkins men?
Oh, yes, sure. I remember old John Baum, too, who had a big store right on the spot, I think, where our library is on today.
Oh, here in Green Bay?
On corner Main and Monroe, on the northwest corner. Baum had a three-story store. But he was Jewish, and before that he would pick up iron. Even scrap iron there wasn't much of it to pick up because the farmers were making their own implements. Couldn't go... In the 1890s, you couldn't go to the store and buy a binder or more or anything like that.
Well, how did you make your own?
Well, they cut with a scythe.
Oh, with a scythe.
I remember my dad hauled wheat to the elevator in Algoma and bought a mower, a hay mower, $40. Today, they're hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. What about these peddlers? What sort of things did they bring?
Well, he would pay you with tin pans or trinkets, that he had along with him. You'd sell him your cast iron, or that's all they'd buy is a cast iron. And he had a wagon, horse. And to pay you for your cast iron, he'd give you a pan or some little trinket, like that. And he used to stay at my grandmother Brance's overnight.
Oh, really?
He used to stay there. But he became a wealthy man.
Oh, did he? Was he a Raleigh or Watkins peddler?
No, he was just an individual, just a Jewish fellow, just came from the old country. And the Jews, all the Jews in Green Bay, none of them ever worked by the day that I know of. They're all in business. There's a Baum and the Bermans and Alks and Rosenbergs, and look how wealthy they are. Well, you don't know that, of course. I know they were sued for $250,000, $2 million and a quarter by the government for inheritance tax, and they settled for $17,000. So they have a way about them.
Yeah, I'd say. Sounds like it.
Yeah, they're pretty sharp.
Besides this fellow, do you remember any Watkins men coming out there and selling you, oh, medicine or spices or?
No, I don't remember the Watkins men in the country. See, we lived off from the main road about 3/4 mile at the end of a road. And during Cleveland's administration, that was very tough times. You couldn't even sell a cow. You couldn't sell a calf. You couldn't sell anything. The butchers didn't come around and buy it. So farmers killed their own cows. I told you that
before. And they ate their own meat?
Yeah. So, there was no way of preserving it, so when we killed a cow on our thrash floor, well, all the neighbors came over and got 15, 20, 30 pounds, whatever they wanted, and didn't even weigh it.
So then you didn't bother with money much, but you lived off what you grew yourself. That's right. And what your neighbors would share.
Well, there was a lot of bartering then, you know, because money was scarce. I remember the only thing I ever got from my grandfolks was a silver dollar from my grandmother Brandt's. And I had that in my trunk for many years, and finally I thought, well, I'll buy something in remembrance of her, and I bought a crucifix with it.
Oh, do you still have it?
I still have it. I marked it on the back, but today, you know, the kids don't go to church. That's another thing I think the communists are doing pretty good with. Kids don't go to church anymore. It's bad.
What about the fire departments back then? Were there any, or what was done?
Sure. We just moved our fire. We just moved that hall to the, what do they call that, Hermitage Park out there?
Heritage Park?
Heritage, yeah. Hermitage. That's good. And that was the fire engine house. It stood on the end of North Irwin Avenue at Main Street there, right on the river bank. Had a little cupola on it. But I think they had to get all their water from the river somehow. There was no sewers. Because even our first water was distributed here in wooden pipes.
Oh, really?
Oh, sure. They still find some of the dig for sewers once in a great while. They did a few years ago. I think you can find that at the museum. Logged like that, hollowed out, you know.
That's really strange.
Oh, sure. And even your electric current. I remember auditing when I was going to business college in 1908. I was sent out to the public service, and there was just a little 25-foot store on North Washington Street, and I was auditing bills from the people who sold them spikes and wire and all that, and I guess the teacher thought I was pretty fair in arithmetic, so I worked there a few weeks. So the public service, you know, was quite new. In fact, at that time, Doctors Minahan, that owned the Minahan building on the corner of Walnut and Washington, that's the first concrete reinforced building that was built in 1907, the same year that the post office and the courthouse were built. And they had a generator there, and they used to generate their own current, and I think they sold current to the, I know they sold current to the theater next door, which they also owned. I think we distributed current to a few places. Rars used to do the same thing with water. Rars Brewery had a well, and they'd distribute water to a few of the taverns on Main Street there. No, you didn't have all this push-button stuff that they had today. We're spoiling you girls.
Well, we'll probably never be without it, so. I remember last time I was here, you told me about a time you were fighting a fire, and we didn't get that on tape. You're fighting a fire in, I think it was in Denmark.
Oh, yes, in Denmark.
What about that?
That was Krawonik's elevator. When I was working for Enns Brothers, that was Krawonik's competitors. But we had a lot of these little Fuller Johnson engines at that time, and it was kind of cold, and they were started with batteries, three, four batteries. Mm-hmm. And my hands were wet. I guess I started one of them near the cheese factory, and the darn thing kicked me on my fanny.
What was that for? What were you starting that?
To get water to haul over to their elevator. We didn't know how we were going to handle it. No fire department.
There was no fire department
there,
huh?
But we had a lot of baking soda at that time already, and we had a cheese factory, so we had sulfuric acid. And those extinguishers, everybody had extinguishers. They're nothing more than a can full of water, and you insert a bottle with a rubber cork full of about a 4-ounce bottle of sulfuric acid. And that bottle stood upright inside of that extinguisher. And the water in the bottom part, you'd pour a package of baking soda in it. So that when you wanted to discharge that extinguisher, all you did is tip it upside down. And the sulfuric acid got into that soda and water, and they were enemies, and that would force it out. And that's where you got the pressure to put the fire out.
Yeah, so that's how you
put
that.
But we lost control anyway. I was busy filling those things up to save their building.
And so it burnt all down? You didn't save any of it?
No.
Did the whole town come out to help fight that fire?
Oh, yes. I was in the barbershop, half shaved at the time.
Oh, really? And you ran out. Huh. How much did it cost to get a shave back then?
I don't remember, but I think it was 10 cents. Haircut was a quarter, shave was 10 cents, I think.
Did you get a shave every day in the barbershop, or did you shave yourself?
No, not that often. That little fuzz I had at that time. And
it wasn't considered a luxury then to get shaved in the barbershop?
No,
pretty much everyone did it?
No, all of us fellows that worked around there, the dentist and the cheesemaker and myself and the depot agents and the storekeepers. That was our meeting place for those who didn't drink, you know, all you had for... Well, we had a lot of dance halls at that time, but you didn't have very many dances. And I used to enjoy dancing.
Did you ever have fires out on farms or in barns that you can remember?
That I don't remember. You have more of them now, I think, than we had then.
Oh, really?
Because today they're electrified, you see, and they always call it a short. I often wondered why these electricians, we have conduit, the wiring's got to be in the conduit nowadays, that's the law. I don't know why we have so many shorts. I had another one this week again.
You did?
Not me, but...
Someplace else.
Yeah, I saw it on television.
Do you remember about building construction on farms? Did neighbors help?
Oh, yes, sure.
What went on?
When you build a barn, of course, the contractor, or the fellow who knew his business, who knew how to build barns, he was there for a week or two cutting up the stuff in size. All the 2x4s were cut certain size, and the logs were, or if you had a log barn, they were all ready to put up, because you had to roll them up two other poles that you would put up against the building, you know, as you got logs got higher, and they had to roll them up there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way of lifting them up 15, 20 feet in the air.
Right.
Oh, it was odd working, doing work them days. But these frame barns, board you mean, you know, made from boards, they'll put up a barn in one day, 30, 40 men, you know, from the neighborhood. They still do that.
Do they? And do they all get together and have a big feast afterwards, or a party? Or?
Well, there was plenty of food and plenty of beer there all the time. That's the way it seems. They would pay each other back for favors, to have a keg of beer.
Hmm.
You could have a quarter barrel of beer for 70 cents some days. Oh, really? Just like liquor. You go to the Shadows or O'Neill's or any number of liquor stores we used to have on Washington Street, 70 cents a gallon for whiskey, and today you get one little mouthful for 70 cents.
About it, right.
But your tax on it is high now, which you didn't have them days. You didn't have all these taxes. You didn't have income tax either. Mm-hmm. I've got all my income tax reports down in the basement from the first time that I ever filled.
When was that? First time?
I think it was either 1913 or 1917.
So farmers didn't have to be paying any income tax?
No, workers either. No, nobody. Huh. Nobody. We didn't have it. We old-timers wonder where in the devil all that money goes that they get nowadays. You know, like, I think my federal last year was over 900 four times a year.
Gee.
Years ago, you had 3,500. When you first started, you had 3,500 exemption. And who made 3,500? I think I was making about, I don't know what I started at the bank at, $70 a month, I think. 70 a month. You wouldn't work 2 days for that.
I probably would. I don't know about someone else. I was going to ask you, as long as you were in the banking and financing and insurance business, what if you think there was any typical Belgian attitude toward banking and borrowing money and that sort of thing? How did the people in the area feel about that?
Well, years ago, of course, they carried a lot of cash. If they bought a farm, they went to the bank and got all cash and hauled it around, which would be very dangerous today.
Yeah.
But, of course, at that time, if you bought a house for, most houses around $3,000-$4,000 at that time, if you came to the bank and you wanted to borrow some money when you bought that house, you were expected to have 50%.
Oh, ready to pay back right away?
Pay down as a down payment. You were expected to have 50%. If you were of good moral and character and had good character, we'd loan you 60%. Maybe you don't have to pay 40. Character helped a lot them days.
So where did they get character?
I remember when if you paid your bills promptly and all that. I remember when my grandfather Brance died. A man came to my grandmother and said, "I owe Victor $300. There was no note or anything at all.
Oh.
No, that's the way they dealt among themselves. They trusted one another them days. Nowadays, you can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, you can trust some.
Did a lot of the Belgians...
I trusted my neighbor across the street yesterday.
Oh, really?
He's got some outfit paying his bills, you know, and he doesn't know how to handle his own affairs.
Oh.
And he was a little short, so his wife called and asked if she could have $5. Last year it was $10. So, he does things for me, so I thought if he doesn't pay me back, fine, that's okay with me.
Huh. Did the Belgian farmers save money in the bank?
Oh, yeah. Well, there were no banks here years back.
Well,
in fact, I have a checkbook here, the first bank in Green Bay.
Oh.
It's the Strong Bank, but the guy escaped with the money. I used to see the old foundation from the old vault. The vault was made of stone. It stood right where engine house number one is today.
Hmm.
Right on that V shape. And there was a cemetery around there too, but nobody'd know it. Old buildings.
Where is that? Where's engine?
Corner Washington and Mason Street, at the foot of Mason Street Bridge.
Hmm. So before there were any banks, did the farmers save their money right in their homes somewhere?
I imagine so. What money? There wasn't any.
Oh.
But a silver dollar had a dollar's worth of silver in it.
Yeah,
today your coins don't have any value. Metallic value, they don't have any.
Did the Belgians feel free to borrow money, or would they rather
They'd borrow
not?
From one another.
See, rather than using the bank, I see.
Well, there were no banks here.
Well, I meant like the bank that you first worked
at
when you were in Denmark.
Oh, yes. Oh, sure. The farmers there, of course, pretty everybody had a mortgage, so they had to pay on the mortgage before they started depositing money.
Yeah.
Now that the dollar's worth very little, you know, it's worth about 20, 25 cents, well, now everybody's got money. But years ago, a farmer could retire on 20, 25,000 too. He'd sell his farm and he could live on that, because if you place $25,000 on, he'd buy, come into town and he'd buy a home for $3,000. So he had about $22,000 left, and we'd place it for him at the bank at 6%. We'd retain 1.5% for our work.
Hmm.
And that gave him, about $1,200, and then he, less our commission. And he couldn't spend all that for a living at that time.
What were the interest?
In 1916 and up in there, he couldn't spend that amount of interest. But now, the dollar's getting smaller all the time, and the rent is getting higher. With that, he can't even rent a house for a year now with that $1,200 interest that he used to get. So I don't know whether it's good or bad that things are so high and everybody makes so much money. They spend more of it. They throw it away on things they don't need. You know, years ago, who, if they did have snowmobiles or stuff like that, or these what do they call them, cars that they stay in overnight, you know, and go up in the woods. And,
trailers or something? Campers?
Campers, yeah. Who needs a camper? Who
would have a tent?
Yeah. No, you were outside all the time on the farm. You didn't have to go out in the woods. You were in the woods all the time.
Oh. I wanted to ask you about the lot. Do you remember what sort of things, what you thought about him when you were 8 or 7 years old?
I was too small to think about him, but I...
Did you hear about him then?
Yes, he was in Brussels, just 3 miles from our farm. That's where he started, I guess.
What were people saying about him at that time?
Well, he was a smart fellow. He just wanted to be bishop. He didn't care what religion. He tried to be bishop of the Episcopalians and of the Presbyterians and of the Catholic Church. He didn't care. He loved to dress. And he had it on the Belgians, because he could preach the sermons in French and see which the Belgians understood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the priests that we got later on were from Holland.
Mm. So
they were harder to understand.
Yeah. So you think that's why so many of the Belgians went to Vlaat's church?
Right. Right. Oh, and he was busy. He started a church. He started one right where our jail stands today. I remember that church.
Where's that?
Across from the St. Willibrord's Church on the Courthouse Square. On the southwest corner, he had a church there, Presbyterian Church. And he had a church. I have pictures of the church that he had at Little Sturgeon.
Oh, yeah.
But they all went back to the Catholic Church there. At Little Sturgeon, and the Episcopal Church on North Webster, that one he started too.
Hmm.
But he, according to what I read about him here in the book gotten out by the White Fathers, that he repented.
Yeah.
Huh. He died in France.
Yeah. How did your family feel about their neighbors and friends who went to his church?
None of ours went to the church. A few of them from around Little Sturgeon did.
Was there any fighting or hatred between people who went to one church or the other?
No. No, in Lincoln they even had what they called holy jumpers. Well, some of the Belgians there thought it was odd. But I know one of the priests told me that one of their treasurers was $6,000-$7,000 short in his accounts. And when he was discovered, then he quit the Catholic Church and went to the Holy Jumpers Church.
Was that the Spiritualist Church?
No, I don't know what it is. It's just about a half mile west of my grandfolks' farm.
Hmm.
that little church.
Is that still going on now?
They have funerals there, but I don't know that they have any services there.
Huh, what sort of thing, why was it called the Holy Jumpers?
Well, I guess this, some of the natives must have gone there and saw them jumping around or doing something.
Was it a Christian religion?
They could criticize us too. We kneel and we stand. Yeah. And so, of course, the Belgians were, way back when my granddad come from Brussels, Belgium was 100% Catholic, like Spain is today.
Mm-hmm.
Spain, you know, is. But the services are a little bit different. You know, they'll come in church, like Father Gale, Father Marx told us one time. He says they'll come in during services. He says even during the sermon, they'll go to a grotto and kneel down, say in Our Father or something like that, and walk out again in Europe.
Hmm.
And their taxes are all included. Their church dues are included in their tax.
Oh, they take it right out.
Well, it's all included.
It's
they're all
like
Catholic,
the
so the, yeah,
yeah,
they're all.
Huh.
But in Spain also, Father Marx told us, a commoner cannot become a priest. You've got to have blue blood.
Oh, I see.
The aristocrats or the elite or whatever you call them,
They
can become priests, but not the commoner. And the priest there wouldn't even talk to their parishioners, he says, like we do.
Do you remember who was the minister at the Holy Jumpers Church?
No, I don't.
I've never heard of that before.
No, I don't. Well, they probably had another name, but they called it Holy Jumpers, I suppose, because they probably saw some of their exercises.
Yeah. You didn't know much of anything about
that church then? No. I do know, though, that I don't know what time it is. I think it's on Pentecost. The church in Lincoln was over here, and they'd have a parade to the corner around there. And here was my grandfolks' farm, and my grandfolks would have an altar